All right, hello everybody, and welcome back to the Jim Fear 138 show podcast thing. I'm a bobber. I have no idea what I'm doing anymore with my life, guys. So it's been a while. And I'm gonna get caught up. Just like, there's a lot of shit that I kind of want to talk about. And I need to get back to doing the podcast anyway. It's been a crazy couple of months, guys. It's like, just politically and with work and everything. But I do have good news. So, you know, get yourself a drink. A nice smoke. And let's get into it. I have some very nice smokes this time. These are Al Capone cognac dipped cigarillos. They taste pretty damn good. It's been a while since I've had something this strong, and that's an actual tobacco leaf that it's wrapped in. Kick ass. All right. My plan to catch cancer by the time I'm 30 is moving along nicely. Sorry if you guys can hear me moving the fucking microphone around. So, why haven't I been uploading anything? Mostly it's because I've been working. If I had a day job that allowed me to, you know, sit down for periods of time and, you know, bring my laptop along and actually get some work done, then it wouldn't be that big a deal. I would be able to record while I was at home and work while I'm at work and essentially get paid to sit around and edit shit for you guys to listen to. Which, by the way, on the editing, I'm probably not going to have time to edit the podcast anymore, so you guys are going to get the full brunt of my inability to string a complete sentence together. So, the day job has been getting really stressful, and there's certain coworkers that have decided to make just about complete asses of themselves. And the stress level is not, you know, it's not balanced out by the pay. You know what I mean? Like, stress is actually, like, scientifically unhealthy. So if you're going to stress me out, there needs to be some commensurate, you know, reward for me for being stressed out while doing my job. You know, that factors into hazard pay in my own little fucked up world that not everybody else has caught up with yet. But yeah, stress for me factors into hazard pay, and I don't even get regular hazard pay. It's essentially just something so I'll have money for food at this point. Sorry, I got distracted by this cigarillo. I'm trying to figure out where the filter ends, because it does have a filter. The job has been just really stressful, and I've been really tired from that. And when I haven't been doing that, I got good news. The next Catherine Kimbridge book, number 8, Replicants, is up on Audible. You can all go buy that and put some money in my pocket. Speaking of which, I think I get, like, I don't know, somewhere from 20 to 50% of the sales, but I need to go to my website here and check, because they sent me an email today that my monthly statement was ready, so I can see how much I earned over the course of, what is this month, September? Maybe it was last month. I don't fucking know. Let's see here. But yeah, so I got the Catherine Kimbridge book, and then I think I had stopped the, like, put the podcast on unofficial hiatus. I got messages. Kick ass. I've sold 45 units. That's pretty badass. Oh, I got an audition. I was not chosen. I was not chosen, guys. I was not worthy. Here's the earnings thing. But, so I did the Catherine Kimbridge book. And while I was doing that, I've talked about Aaron Clary on this podcast before. You should all go follow his YouTube and check out his Blogspot, buy his books and shit like that. I love his work. So I'm on Twitter one day and I'm trying to use social media more. And this is one of the most mind-blowing things about what I'm doing right now, which I'll get to in a minute. I have to set aside time for social media now, guys. It used to be something fun that I just kind of dicked around with. And it used to be something fun that I dicked around with in my off time when I didn't have anything else to do or I didn't want to do anything else. I would just like scroll Tumblr, dick around on Twitter, you know, watch YouTube videos, whatever. $8. Wow. This is coming along nicely. Kill me. I love my audiobook career, guys. Shoot me in the fucking head. This is why nobody in the business who's an actual, you know, professional who has been doing this for years works for royalties. Nobody works for royalties. I'm like the only dude in the business. Because I'm not well known enough to have my name out there. So no one, apparently, but Aaron is going to pay me, you know, actual money to record their audiobook. Which, hey, that's cool. I'm relatively unknown. I've only got like, what, 3 out there at this point? But yeah, so there's the 2. I was working on the Catherine Kimbridge Replicants book. And I'm on Twitter one night. And I see, or maybe it was one day. I think I was at work. And yeah, I occasionally dick around on Twitter at work. Just on breaks and stuff like that. But I see a tweet from Aaron Clary. He's like, oh, Reconnaissance Man has, you know, been released on Amazon. Go get you a copy. It was worded probably more eloquently than that. But I really like Aaron's books, and I was planning on getting a copy of Reconnaissance Man anyway. So, like, he had just released the book 2 days before I saw this tweet, right? And I immediately tweeted him. And I was like, hey, do you have anybody working on the audiobook yet? He was like, no, do you have anybody competent that you would recommend? And I messaged him back, because at this point, I was just kind of riding the high of, oh God, what the fuck are you doing? Stop, 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 stop. But I couldn't stop myself. I was just like, well, fuck it. I can send you a audition when I get home from work. And he was like, oh yeah, go ahead, please do. So I went home that night. I bought the fucking book. I recorded like, I don't know, the first chapter, something like that. The intro, I believe it was. Sorry, with these cigarillos, you have to keep puffing on them or they go out. Also, I compulsively knock the ash off of whatever I'm smoking. It's like the worst habit for a smoker. that's not, you know, smoking. But I recorded it. I cleaned it up. I made it sound really nice and I sent it off to him. And he was like, hell fucking yeah, let's do this. So, he sent me some figures about prices and, you know, what, based on what I told him I charge, I was like, you know, I do $100 to $200 per completed hour, or I do royalties. If you want to do royalties, you know, I wouldn't be excited about that. I didn't tell him that I wouldn't be excited about that. I'm excited for the exposure. Like $8 in a month for audiobooks is, for someone who literally just started doing this year and has been working for royalties, that's not all that bad. I mean, from a bill paying standpoint, it's fucking horrible. But I knew that this was going to take a while when I first got into it. Holy shit, I've been going on for 10 minutes. All right. We worked out like $500. I'll do the book for you for $500. And I finished up the one I was working on and I started doing that. And along the way, and Aaron, if you hear this, I kind of played PsyOps with you, because I'd been listening to people like Mike Cernovich. And if you're not following Mike Cernovich on Twitter, go follow Mike Cernovich. I don't care where you end up on the political spectrum. Mike Cernovich is worth a follow. He, like, there's footage of him. He went to the RNC and the DNC, and at the DNC, it was really interesting because he got up in the media's asshole, like directly in their asshole, and just like set his dick right up against their like twitching buttocks and was just like, why aren't you talking to the fucking Bernie people? Go talk to the Bernie people. These people are right over here. Why don't you go interview them? You know, they're getting screwed over here. The media is not covering any of this. Go talk to the fucking Bernie people. So he actually stood up for Bernie Sanders' followers, I guess, his constituents. He's severely more right-wing. He's friendly with people like Vox Dei. He's been on Stefan Molyneux's podcast a few times, which, you know, I highly recommend Stefan Molyneux to people. Don't listen to the call-in shows. I tried listening to a few of them, and he gets into some interesting discussions with people, but most of the time, it's just people calling in, and they're like, well, I got this problem, and it's all my fault, and I don't know how to fix it, and he walks them through all of the steps about how it's all their fault, and they really know how to fix it, they just don't want to do it, they just want to have somebody tell them what to do, and they already know what to do, but they want to hear it from somebody else. But anyway, listen to the interviews and the standalone videos that Stefan does. They're fucking great. He's also on iTunes. So if you're preferring iTunes to get your podcasts and stuff like that, go follow Free Domain Radio. But I was going somewhere with this. Let's see. There was fuck. I totally lost my train of thought. I'm sorry, guys. Let's see. There was talking to Aaron. Yeah. I was watching people. I was talking about how I kind of ran psyops on Aaron Clary, and it wasn't exactly an accident, but I'd been listening to people like Mike Cernovich, who fucking admits that that's what he's doing on, you know, the political spectrum or the political landscape. He fully admits that he's running a psyops campaign. And he's good at it. And then I listened to Dave Rubin's interview with Scott Adams, who is the creator of the Dilbert cartoon. I love Dilbert. I've been reading Dilbert all my life. I would go over to my grandmother's house every week, and I would get her her newspaper, and I would just pull open the funny pages, and I would read, like, Family Circus, Peanuts, and Dilbert. And, like, I think The Far Side was running back then. So I kind of started listening to these guys and taking some of their advice and things I already knew about psychology. And I went on Audible, right? And I looked up Aaron Clary because I wanted to see, you know, if he's got books up here that I haven't read, or, you know, if he's got something that I'd like to read again, but I don't actually have time to sit down and read. And it pisses me off so bad because I just got the first two issues of Kirsova, C-I-R-S-V-O-V-A. C-I-R-S-O-V-A. It's a heroic science fiction and fantasy magazine, and I highly recommend it, guys. The first two issues are up on Amazon. It's kind of a seasonal thing. They release one for spring, summer, fall, and winter. They just funded issues 3 and 4, so I expect those to come out in a little while. I wasn't one of the funders. I didn't hop on the bandwagon soon enough, but I got their first two issues, and it's really good shit so far. But I don't have time to read anymore, so I'm really hopping on the audiobook bandwagon. I got Downpour, I got Audible, I listen to a bunch of podcasts where they read stories, but I looked up Aaron on Audible, and I was like, well, the only books that he has up here are, like, I want to say that Davis Arini did the other two, but there was the new one, Curse of the High IQ, which is a very good book. Very good book. Highly recommend that. It explained, it was kind of like, well, I could have told you that, but I'm not the one with the reach and the ability to put it all into words like he did. So go read that if you're ever wondering, like, why do I hate life? Why do I think everybody else around me is stupid? Why was I bored as fuck in school? You know, That kind of shit. You might just have a high IQ, and this will explain why life is kind of difficult for people who are above average intelligence-wise. But he had Curse of the High IQ, and I think Bachelor Pad Economics, and Worthless was up on Audible. So I was like, well, you've got like fucking 6 books out, dude. I said it more professionally than this in the email that I sent him, but I was like, you got like fucking 6 books out, dude. You know, you don't even have Enjoy the Decline, which was the first book of his that I read, and it's still my favorite. I love that fucking book. It kind of helped me realign my mindset to kind of deal with all of the crazy shit that's going on. Like, I'm convinced at this point that we're in a parallel universe where everything is going exactly as wrong as it possibly fucking can without a giant meteor hitting the Earth, because that would, you know, for this universe, that would make things go right. Everybody would be dead. There would be no more problems. But, yeah, so I emailed him and I was like, well, you know, we're finishing up with, we're finishing up with Reconnaissance Man, and I'm looking at Audible and I noticed that you only have like these three books up. You don't even have Enjoy the Decline recorded in audiobook. You know, you seem pretty happy with the work that I did for you. So do you want me to, you know, if you want to do those books, I'm more than willing to help out. And, you know, my price range and you know what I can deliver. So do you want me to do that? And he didn't tell me about it. He didn't say anything about that. He just kind of ignored that part of the message, and we got on with the rest of the thing. I was like, okay, well, it was a pleasure working with you. You know, if you want to do any audiobooks in the future, please keep me in mind. You know. And then we just kind of went our separate ways. And I listened to his podcast, and he does two weekly now. He does the Curseful podcast and the Curse-Free podcast. The beginning of the week is the Curseful. And somewhere around Thursday or Friday is the Curse-Free podcast. So he's got two podcasts every week. But I'm listening to his podcast, and he's bringing up all of his books, and he's talking about how they're on, you know, because he does the sponsorship thing, and part of the sponsors is pimping his own shit. And he's like, you know, well, maybe I'll get some of the other ones in audiobook. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that. So I was like, all right. We'll just, I planted the seed and then let it kind of germinate. And yes, I'm taking full credit for this shit. You know, I just planted that seed, and then he starts talking about it on his podcast. And then one day I wake up and I got a fucking email, and he's like, hey, you want to do Enjoy the Decline? That's like the last flagship book that I have that I don't have an audio version of yet. And you know, you deliver really good product, and you're really timely, and you're really professional. So you want it? I was like, fuck yes. I got this one that I'm working on right now. The Andrew Beery, the guy who wrote the Catherine Kimbridge Chronicles, has contracted me to do the sixth book, because the guy that he originally had doing the sixth book, like, I must have talked to him 4 months ago when I first did Renegades. Was when I first started on that. And I kept looking at Audible, and I was like, okay, you've got 1 through 5, and now you've got 7, and now you've got 8. Where is 6? Do you want me to do, like, can you free up 6 and let me do it? Because I've released like 3 books in the time that this guy has not even done one yet. And maybe he's busy. Maybe he had shit that got in the way, more important shit that he had to do. Fine. You know, I understand people are busy. I'm not going to give the guy shit about that. It's perfectly understandable. But I was like, you know, I do nothing. I have a day job, and then I come home and I dick around on social media and I record stories. So do you want me to do this one? I can probably get it done faster than he will. And he was like, yeah, okay. Sorry, clipping problem. I'm not editing, so. Sorry about that, guys. But it was like, okay. Just let me free it up, and I'll go and talk to the guy and see if he's willing to let it go and let somebody else do the project. And he put me on the project, gave me an offer, which I found out the really cool thing about ACX with offers is you don't have to submit an audition. Like with Replicants, I had to submit an audition. Even though I had done Renegades, he didn't offer Replicants to me. So we coordinated. He was like, all right, it's going up on ACX now. Go ahead and grab it. So I found it, put in an audition, and blah, blah, blah. The whole fucking process went on. And for this one, he actually specifically offered the book to me. So if you get an offer and you accept it, you don't have to put in an audition. You just have to do your first 15 minutes by the time that the thing is due. So I think the first 15 minutes for this book is due on like the 30th or the 31st of this month. I'm going to have the whole book recorded by then. Maybe not edited, but definitely recorded. So that was that. And then I told him, like, I'm working on this project. I told Aaron, I'm working on this project right now. I would love to do Enjoy the Decline. It's my favorite of your books. So yeah, I'm really interested. And given the figures you've told me about the length of the book, how about we do it for like 700 this time? Okay, fine, 700, fine. let me know. I'll let you know when I start working on it. And he sent me back, an email. Hang on. I'm actually going to find the email. Cause I woke up like, I opened up my email account. Where's my Gmail? There it is. Okay. I opened up my email and I saw this message and I opened it up and, this was this. I was laughing my ass off when I first fucking read this, and like, no disrespect to Aaron, I love the guy, I love his work, but this just made me bust out laughing. He says, "Hi Jim, yeah, let's go ahead and do that, and I want a deal if I give you some economic advice," and then proceeds to dispense the economic advice. "You're undercharging given your speed, quality, and professionalism. I dealt with two other audiobook guys and you come in at twice the quality, one-fourth the time, and twice the professionalism. Of course, the market will bear what it will, but I would increase your prices on anybody I send you. Not because I'm trying to be a dick to them, but because you're worth it and they'll get their money's worth. So consider boosting your prices by about 50%. Not on me, of course, and not on Enjoy the Decline, but in the future so you make more money." That fucking made my day. That lit me the fuck up, man. But no, he gets like, he's basically jump-starting my career here. Like, he's already told me that he would, like, recommend me to several people he knows who want audiobooks of their books done. He plugged me on his fucking podcast. The last episode, well, maybe not now, but, like, this week. It's the 23rd right now. So the early podcast, the most recent one for me right now. Hang on, let me just get my fucking phone, and I'll look it up. But yeah, that blew my fucking mind, man. That was so cool. Let me see if I can find it. Aaron Clary, where are you, dude? I know you're in here. I know you're fucking in here. There we are. Feed. Episode 165. Yeah, the one that came out on the 21st. Yeah, that one. 165. Near the end. It's like an hour and 17 minutes in or something. I was just sitting there at work, just hanging out, you know, listening to it. I think I was like in the bathroom washing my hands. And then suddenly, you know, he's going down the sponsor list and he gets done with the guy right before me. And then he's like, "Jim Fear." And I was like, "What the fuck? How in the, no, this isn't real." I had to go back and listen to it like two or three times. It was so fucking surreal hearing somebody that I respect and that I've listened to for months on iTunes and that I've, you know, I followed his YouTube channel from back in the days when he was advertising on Honey Badger Radio when they were still part of a Voice for Men's network, you know, still on Blog Talk Radio and shit. It was so fucking surreal to hear like my pseudonym come out of his mouth on his fucking podcast, and I hadn't really given him any money. I had just done his book at a reduced price. I didn't even know it was a reduced price. Like, I thought that was pretty fair. You know, I thought that was a pretty fair price for that book and all of the stuff that went along with it. And the motherfucker tipped me $100. So, yeah, Aaron definitely gets a cut from what I'm going to be charging from now on if somebody specifically comes to me and they're like, "Hey, I want you to do my book," and I didn't audition on, like, ACX or something. He's definitely going to get a price cut. You know, I told him that we would work with the prices that we've set out right now, which is based on, like, I don't know, like $150 per completed hour. And it usually comes out to be higher than the price that I quote him. So, like, he did the math for Reconnaissance Man, and it wound up being like, I don't know, $565. And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of like, you know, let's split a fine hair here. This arbitrary fucking number." And I was like, "All right, well, I'll just do it for five. Fuck it. That'll be fine." And I felt like I was overcharging. You know, I was like, he's not going to go for this. $500 to do an audiobook. Who's going to fucking pay that much? Especially for a book that's not really all that long. But no, he went with it. He was like, "Yeah, that's fine." Boom. You know, practically cash on the fucking barrelhead. And then, like, this would have wound up being, like, 750 based on what we had, the low figures. I was ballparking it a little bit low, because he said it was like 50 to 65% longer than Reconnaissance Man. So I was like, okay, so like 50% to 500 is 250, it's 750. I'll do it for 700. You know, so I'm already like slicing off a little bit, because I don't want to quote my price too high and have somebody go, oh no, that's too rich for my blood. You know, I can't do that. Because I would rather get underpaid and have the book and my name out there than not do the book, you know, and not make the money. Because producing audiobooks really isn't all that difficult. It's just time intensive, and like, there are techniques that you need to learn to do it properly. Which is why I kind of want to get in contact with Mike Cernovich and just be like, look, dude, I love what you do. I respect you, you know, good everything. Your voice is shit, dude. Because the guy has a lisp. And it's not like one of those barely noticeable lisps. It's like really fucking pronounced. Like, go look up Gorilla Mindset on Audible. And not like gorilla, like gorilla arm, like gorilla, like the animal, gorilla, like Harambe. Gorilla like the animal Gorilla Mindset on Audible by Mike Cernovich. He narrated it himself. And the audio quality isn't all that bad. But the thing is that, like, you want to be sounding really good when you do an audiobook. You want people to be able to listen to you for 3 to 68 hours straight, if it comes down to that. You know, I got the unabridged version of Les Miserables. That clocks in at like 80 hours. Somewhere between like 69 and 80 hours. It's ridiculous. But you really want to sound good when you do an audiobook, and you really want to have a voice that people will want to listen to. And that's one of the reasons that I have a lot of respect for the guy. I love Stefan Rudnicki's voice. I can't listen to that guy read a story for more than like an hour and a half. And it's not anything against him personally, but I could just picture him like just taking a shot and like, or just like getting a tumbler full of like scotch or whiskey or something and just knocking back the whole fucking tumbler and not brushing his teeth, not doing no mouthwash, no, and just launching right into whatever story he's got to read. Like, he just turns on the microphone and goes, no pre-prep, no nothing. And when you've got that good of a voice, I mean, you could probably prefer, blanking on the fucking word here. You can probably choose that. You can probably just do that, you know. No one's going to tell Stefan Rudnicki, hey, dude, there's too many breaths and mouth noises in this. Go brush your fucking teeth. Drink some water, for fuck's sake. We have an editing guy. He can cut that shit out. It's fine. Go drink a glass of water. But, I mean, the guy's won, like, Audi and Grammy awards, so what the fuck do I know? I'm just some dickhead out in South Carolina, you know, recording audiobooks in my fucking room and trying to get as good a sound as possible. I don't even have a fucking team. It's just me. So, what the fuck do I know? I just got into this year. I just started out doing this, like, I don't know, March? Something like that. I mean, I've been narrating for a while on YouTube and shit, but doing audiobooks? He probably knows more about what he can get away with than I do. But, yeah, I kind of want to go to Mike Cernovich and just be like, all right, look, dude, props on you for not caring what people think. Like, people make fun of him for his voice all the fucking time. He does not care. Like, people even try to pick on his, like, this dude has supreme self-confidence. And I applaud him for that. Like, people tried to pick on how close together his eyes were. And his only response was something along the lines of, predators evolve their eyes closer together to hunt prey better. And that got a bit of a giggle out of me. So the guy's got a lot of self-confidence. I don't knock that about him. But, like, that audiobook would probably sell better if he wasn't narrating it. I mean, like, and I like the sound of Aaron Clary's voice, right? He doesn't have a bad voice, contrary to what a lot of people, or his own self-opinion. he's talked about how he doesn't want to do his own audiobooks because, you know, it's time consuming, is a lot of work involved, and he doesn't really like the sound of his own voice. Aaron Clary could get away with narrating his own audiobooks. He might have to refrain from screaming, but he could get away with it. Cernovich, that lisp is too damn noticeable. It just is. And I, like, the guy's, like I said, the guy's really fucking self-confident. So I'm not knocking him at all. Good on him for having the confidence to go out there and put himself out there like that. I mean, the guy's got a Periscope that does hundreds of thousands, probably millions of hits every week. So what the fuck do I know? I could sit there and listen to the guy talk, but I don't know if I could sit there and listen to him read a story to me for like 3.5 hours, even a self-help book like Guerrilla Mindset. But I just kind of want to go to him and be like, hey, look, here's my body of work so far. Here's my most recent one. It's really good. I'm really got my editing down and I know what I'm doing. So if you ever want to get an audiobook done in the future, you know, keep me in mind, hit me up. I'm usually pretty busy, but I can definitely work you in and we'll work on a price and shit like that. And, but I don't know if I should, cause that might come off as insulting. But yeah. Another thing that I wanted to let you guys know about, that's kind of out of the way. I'm really happy about that. So I'm going to finish up Insurrection, which I think is the title of the Catherine Kimbridge book I'm working on now, number 6. And I'm going to get that sent off. Hopefully that's going to be done like a week and a half into next month. Then I'm going to start working on Enjoy the Decline. And I'm very happy to be doing that book. That helped me out a lot with my mindset, and I highly recommend it to everybody out there. And if you wait a while, you can listen to me read it to you. And not in the voice that I'm, like, I hear voice actors, like, I've watched panels with voice actors, and they're like, I don't even remember what I sound like anymore. This is my real voice. This is what I sound like. When I'm narrating, I put on this voice. So you're not getting that high-pitched racket that you just heard. It's very smooth, mellow tones, and I accentuate every word, and I try to make sure that you can hear everything that I'm saying. It kind of like how I do for the next thing that I'm talking about, which is, I almost just ashed in my fucking wine. I need to put my ashtray over here. The next thing. Big, big, important message. You all need to go subscribe to Dimension Bucket. Go subscribe to Dimension Bucket Magazine on iTunes, on pretty much anything but Stitcher. Because we heard, I think it was the, who was it? I want to say it was the Thrilling Adventure Hour guys. They had put their podcast on Stitcher. Like, I think Stitcher contacted them. We're like, hey, we want to host you guys on Stitcher because you're a really popular show and whatnot. And they were like, okay, but we want you to use our RSS feed so that we can keep track of our numbers here. Which, you know, I don't know why this is a problem. Just give them the fucking shit and let them do what they want and then take the numbers from Stitcher and add them into your total numbers from your RSS feed that, like, iTunes and shit uses. And just, like, add it all together. What the fuck is the problem here? But apparently it was in the contract that they had signed and Stitcher reneged on that without contacting them first, and they would hit up their RSS feed like once, and they would download the episode and then they would put it onto Stitcher. So we're kind of trying to avoid services that actively fuck their content creators over like that. So I don't think we're on Stitcher. I don't think we're going to be on Stitcher. We're not on Podomatic. I think we're on Podcast Addict, but I don't know, maybe not. Bucket knows. I'm going to have to get in contact with him and ask him where all the fuck we are. Cause he found this web service that updates literally everything. Like, you can just put all of your social media and your RSS or whatever into it and they'll just pump it out all over the place. Like, it'll make Tumblr posts for you. It'll make tweets for you. It'll just, like, tell them, okay, I want to release this now, and it instantly goes out to all of your social media. So I have no idea where all the fuck we are, but I know we're on iTunes and YouTube. Okay? It's the Dimension Bucket Magazine, and basically what we're doing is every week Well, what we wish it was every week. This was the original plan, was every week we're going to do three stories, and we're going to turn three stories into audio dramas, right? And I'm going to do the hosty bits, because Bucket didn't want to do it, because he's already doing, like, the audio engineering and the producing and composing and making the art and literally everything else. He's even voice acting and doing narrations. So, yeah, this thing really is, like, riding on the back of Dimension Bucket. But every episode is going to be three stories with little hosty bits in the middle. And, we do sound effects, we do original music. Occasionally you'll hear like Muji and Kevin MacLeod and stuff like that, but we try to keep it original. It's got original art for every episode. And we are currently working on getting a print magazine out, because Amazon does this really cool thing. Where, like with Kursova, like, they didn't have stacks of magazines just sat around. Amazon has a printing press, and you tell them what you want your book to look like, you give them all of the specifics and all of the files and everything like that, and then whenever somebody orders the book on Amazon, they print it, and then they ship it off to you. And they also have the whole Kindle thing, which I'm a big proponent of. I love Kindle. We're basically going to be taking the stories that we did in the podcast for that month. So right now we're trying to get on every 2 weeks, but Bucket's moving, and it's just really kind of chaotic right now. So once everything settles down, we're going to be on a 2 week schedule. We have the first two episodes up. We're working on episode three now, and we're going to get on a 2 week schedule. And I keep repeating this because it's really important, so that we can bring really good quality. Cause we're a small team. It's just me, Bucket, Nightshade. And we've got New Blood, who some of y'all might know from Tumblr. He's a good friend of mine. And he's going to be our copy and content editor and getting the magazine ready for printing on Amazon. And on the website, too. You won't be able to buy physical copies from us. But you'll be able to get, like, PDF and Mobi downloads and stuff like that. And, you know, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/dimensionbucket. And, really cool perks. You get, like, all of the music. You get the high-quality WAV or MP3 downloads of the podcast and the individual stories. And we're trying to get hooked up with, like, a bulk t-shirt printing company so that we can print up a bunch of t-shirts with our logo on them. And then, like, if you donate, like, $30 on the Patreon every month, as soon as it confirms that you donated, we'll like, mail you a t-shirt. Along with all of the rest of the shit that you get for donating. but it's really good. It's really high quality shit. I love working on this. We're trying to turn this into a business venture. We're doing audiobooks. We're doing the whole fucking nine. And the magazine's not just going to be the stories, because I noticed this problem with Clark's World. I recently subscribed to Clark's World, which is another great magazine, and they do a lot of... they do a lot of good shit, like translations. So you get to hear stories from China and Korea and places like that that they've translated and printed in their magazine. But I also listen to their podcast, and the podcast is the stories from the magazine, and they only have a couple of things in the magazine that aren't in the podcast. So I'm trying to give us, like, we'll put out articles on the website. We might do, like, video game reviews and stuff like that. Or just writing tips, whatever we feel like we can get away with putting up on the website, essentially. Like, I recently wrote something about the Ark Scorched Earth DLC controversy, and I was like, can we put this up on the website? And we kind of batted it around for a little while, and we were like, we could get away with, like, game reviews. Like, if this was a review of the DLC, but it's not. It's just me, like, telling everybody how fucking stupid they are, getting mad at Studio Wildcard for this. So that's probably going to go up on my own website as soon as I get it, like, edited. But the thing is that we're trying to put a lot of stuff into the print magazine that otherwise would just be kind of all over the website. So all of the stories will be up on the website, I think. And they'll be nicely curated into this magazine. So if you just want to read them, you can just buy the magazine. And we'll also have various articles that we've all written for the website, short stories that didn't go into the podcast, original fiction, We're hiring out a blind sky watcher, another one of my friends, to do a music column. So we've got that going on where he'll be talking about music. We basically just gave him free license to do whatever the fuck he wants. So if he wants to write like a 2000 word essay on why Enya is the flyest shit you've ever heard, there'll be an article up on the website about why Enya is the flyest shit you've ever heard. But that's currently in the process of coming out. We're waiting because New Blood moved. He's in like Swedistan right now, which good luck, dude. Good luck. Have fun with that. Get a gun. So it was a really inopportune time to start, but now we've got basically all of the groundwork done, and it's just putting our nose to the grindstone and doing it at this point. So that'll be coming out here in hopefully a few days. We gotta give him some time to get acquainted with it, and we still have to set up an Amazon seller page and shit. But yeah, we're doing everything. Audiobooks, music, the podcast, the magazine, posts on the website, all kinds of shit. So go check out dimensionbucket.com. Look up Dimension Bucket Magazine on iTunes. Check all of that shit out. You can try checking for it on your podcast listening app of choice. I'm not sure if it'll be there. Like I say, I really don't think it's on Stitcher, because we're trying to avoid that, because we don't want to get dicked over by Stitcher like those people were. And yeah, that's basically what I've been doing, is just been setting this shit up and getting my shit together. So another thing that I kind of wanted to talk about, so YouTube is dead, and Twitter is dead, essentially. I'm still going to maintain my YouTube and my Twitter, and I'm still going to use them frequently, because Twitter is like the only app of its kind, mobile, that I can use while I'm at work, essentially, that doesn't eat copious amounts of data. I got the Twitter, I got the YouTube. I'm getting invested in alternative social media platforms that I'm probably going to be moving to here shortly. I'm probably just going to post everything everywhere, just so that everybody knows what's up and where it's coming from and all of that shit. So it'll be on my Blogspot. It'll be on, there'll be a post on my Twitter linking back to the Blogspot, probably. I have a Minds account now, which if you're not over at Minds.com, I would highly recommend that you go get a Minds account, especially if you want to keep up with my shit, because they do hosting, and I'm all about some hosting. I don't have to go through archive.org over here. I'm just, like I say, I'm in the process of uploading my backlog right now while I've been recording this podcast, and it's really, really good shit, so far as I can tell. It's still in beta, but they are taking people, and they seem to be able to deal with, you know, copious amounts of people on the website at once. And they host video, they host audio, because I'm uploading these as WAV files, so it's the highest quality that I could get. Or at least I think these are WAVs. These might be MP3s. No, these are WAVs. These are WAVs. So it's the highest quality that I'm able to get and deliver to you guys, because I don't do FLAC, because I have no fucking idea how I would do that. But it allows me to put in albums. So I think I'm going to do one for the narrations and one for the podcast and one for the audiobooks. And it's just going to be like advertisements for the audiobooks in everything that's not Audible, essentially. And they give you like rewards on Minds, and you know, you can boost your content and 100 points to get you started. It's pretty fucking interesting. I'm still figuring it out, because I literally just made this account this morning, and then I had to go to work, so I didn't have time to sit around and play with it. And now I'm recording the podcast, so I don't really have time to sit around and play with it now. But, God, what else is there to talk? Gab. I'm on Gab. If you can get past the waiting list, I would recommend going on to Gab. It's basically Twitter with more, but you get 300 characters, I think. Yeah, you get 300 characters. They have GIFs. It's still like, it's still ramping up, and there's a waiting list. Because they're releasing people as they're sure that their servers can handle it, is what I'm assuming that they're doing. But recently, Twitter just suspended Instapundit for saying that if you find yourself in the middle of a riot and you're surrounded by people in your car, like you're in your car, and you're driving down the street, and suddenly you're in a riot, and there's a bunch of people beating on your windshield and shit, and looking like they want to do you violence, you should use your car as a defensive weapon and run them down. Very reasonable statement in my mind. That sounds like self-defense to me. But Instapundit got suspended from Twitter for this, and he might be in trouble at his job. He's like a professor out in like the West Coast somewhere. I think California. I don't know. Really bad for conservatives in California. And that's not even a conservative opinion to hold. That's just common fucking sense. You know, if someone's trying to kill you and you're in your car and your car works, hit them. But they released a bunch of people onto their platform. Like a couple of thousand people got their Gab accounts because of this happening, because they're trying to promote themselves as like the free speech Twitter. Basically, it's a Twitter clone that does a couple of things better than Twitter, but they're still working the side out. They just added GIFs today. So they're still getting shit together, but I'm a huge, huge, huge supporter and proponent of this kind of stuff, because it is very, over the course of the past few weeks, it has become abundantly fucking clear that the old social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, what's the other one? Nobody uses MySpace. MySpace is basically like five underground bands now. I don't know. Tumblr, that kind of shit. Well, Tumblr's always been shit. But that's because those people don't do their jobs rather than they overdo their jobs, like at Twitter and apparently now YouTube. Those platforms are dead. They are dying. We are watching the death throes right now as they become more authoritarian. Facebook is censoring conservative politics, which I'm not a conservative. You know, I'm not a Republican, but I think that those people should have the right to speak and promote their message to other people. And I'm at the point now where I get most of my news from conservative news outlets because they're the only ones out there fucking telling the truth at this point. Like fucking CNN just added a word to Donald Trump's shit as he was talking. He was talking about behavioral profiling, like how Israel does. And Dave Rubin was talking about this with Stefan Molyneux on Free Domain Radio, which that was a really good talk. Go check that one out. Dave Rubin, R-U-B-I-N, and Stefan Molyneux, and I'm not trying to spell that, over at Free Domain Radio. But, like, Rubin was talking about how he went to Israel and he was profiled, behaviorally. Like, he's part Jewish, or maybe he's full Jewish, I don't know. But they were asking him, like, when his bar mitzvah was. I think there's only one. There's only one. But they asked him when his bar mitzvah was, and he didn't really know. He didn't really remember the date. It was a long time ago. Dude's like 40. He didn't really know, so they thought that was kind of weird. So they had him behaviorally profiled to you know, make sure that they did, because they have Palestine's right over there, and they really want to blow Israel up. And that was what Donald Trump was talking about. He wasn't talking about, well, this person is a little bit below coffee on the color scale here, so we're going to pull him out of the line. He was talking about, you know, sensible profiling, not racial profiling. But CNN just fucking added the word racial right there. Like, Trump, I don't know, Trump promotes racial profiling or something like that, when that's not at all what he said. So we know the mainstream media are completely fucking in the tank, not only in the tank for Hillary, but willing to fabricate the truth in real time as we're watching them fabricate it. Like, it's like sitting out there and watching somebody build a house on a sand foundation and just, like, getting some beers and chilling and watching it fucking happen and deconstructing it in real time. But they had done that. And then you get, like, the Washington Post and Huffington Post and The Guardian and even The Economist now are just going fucking crazy with this left-wing gobbledygook. And you cannot trust them on anything. So damn right I'm going to go to Breitbart over CNN. I'm going to go to Heat Street. I'm going to go to The Blaze. I'm going to go to the Rebel Media. I'm going to go to, fuck, what's the lefty-ish one that I read occasionally? I don't know. I'd have to go looking for it. Most of these people, these news outlets I follow on Twitter. And I'll just, like, read articles while I'm scrolling my timeline at work or whatever. But yeah, damn right I'm going to go to those people instead of outlets that are proven fucking liars. Like, I see them lying to my face and they expect me to not do anything about it. I'm not going to your site, dude. I'm not clicking on your shit. I'm going to archive that link and I'm going to make fun of you. And then I'll go to InfoWars, because at least InfoWars is fun when they lie, and you can never really tell if they're serious or not. And then, like, with social media, it's become this really left-fascist place. Facebook is collaborating with the German government to punish thought crime. If somebody questions the direction that the government is going with regards to the migrant crisis on Facebook, Facebook will report them to the German government, and they can lose their job and have their kids taken away. Like, if that's not, I don't know what the fuck the problem is with Germany and totalitarianism. I really don't get it. Like, that must just be something that's ingrained in German genetics. Man, I don't fucking understand it. But they really swung the other side of the pendulum. Merkel is basically like Hitler's evil, or as evil twin from another dimension, where everything's really left-wing. Instead of preserving Germany for the Aryan race, they're giving Germany away to migrants. Refugees. Rapefugees. But it's just really sad that Facebook is doing that with Germany. Like, as soon as I found that out, I fucking deleted my Facebook. And, like, you can't have anonymity on Facebook. Facebook knows everything you do and everything you say. Everything. And they're getting to the point where you have to verify with your phone number and your driver's license number or something like that. And it's just really fucking totalitarian. They want control of everything, obviously. So I just, you know what? Nah, fuck y'all. I'm done. I'm going to go to the social media sites where I can still have a fucking username. Thanks. And now Twitter's doing this whole shit where they're banning accounts associated with the hashtag Stop Enslaving Saudi Women. And wouldn't you know it, one of Twitter's biggest shareholders is a fucking Saudi prince. Shocking. So it's just like there is no recourse now. We have to abandon these platforms, guys. And YouTube. YouTube is another one. I'm sure you guys have heard about the YouTube Heroes thing, and I'm sure you already know my opinion on that. Like, a couple of the things that they were doing, like Raging Golden Eagle. Raging Golden Eagle did a video about it, and he was like, you know, okay, well, they're basically trying to turn YouTube into Reddit, except the bad part. Like, we're going to give everybody the opportunity to be a insane, power-mad Reddit moderator. So, that's no fun. And then, the YouTube Heroes thing is just such a fucking bad idea. It's like they're trying to drive people away from their platforms, which, you know, it's working. And thank God there are places like Gab and Minds that we can go to. Because Gab is basically Twitter. Like, as soon as they get a fucking mobile app for Gab, I'm deleting my Twitter app. Well, okay, I won't delete my Twitter app because I still want to keep in contact with some of the people that I talk to over there. And, you know, everybody's fucking on Twitter. There's plenty, but I'm basically going to just, like, once Gab gets up and running and full steam up and running, I'm just going to be, like, doing all of my shit posting and stuff on Gab, and Twitter will be for networking, because there's a lot of new podcasts coming out that I really like listening to, and those guys are all on Twitter, and I would really like to, like, send them a message and be like, hey, you know, yeah, I really like your work. Keep it up. It's awesome. I'm glad to listen to this shit. And then I can just delete all of the old shit posts out of my Twitter timeline. But so far as, like, YouTube goes, Minds is about to do monetization. Like, I listened to Honey Badger Radio podcast today. They had Computing Forever on. And he's apparently heavily involved in, like, making Minds a better site. Like, he's not on the staff of Minds, I don't think. But he's heavily involved with them because the staff over there have made themselves, like, you can talk to the CEO of the company that owns Minds like that. You can email that dude, apparently, from what I gathered from the thing. But they're not affiliated with Google, and that's very fucking important. They're run through, I think, Amazon. Amazon has a web service thing, like how Google will give you a domain name through, like, Blogger or whatever. Amazon does that same shit. So they're run through Amazon, and they're very committed to free speech and letting people say and do whatever the fuck they want, just so long as it's not illegal. So I'm going to be hosting my shit over there. Just, you know, I have archive.org, which is my backup that I put on my blog from. So all of my stuff is on archive.org, and I'm going to be uploading it to YouTube and Minds. And eventually, it's going to, if Minds keeps going the way it will, and it looks like it's growing by leaps and bounds, if Minds keeps going the way it is, then I'm just going to eventually just switch over to Minds. And then I'll put up, like, a promo video on YouTube, and it's like, hey guys, you can hear the podcast on Minds.com or on iTunes, and, you know, tune in and listen to me fucking ramble on, or if I have a guest or whatever, whatever. But I'm gonna start phasing these companies out that are against free speech as much as fucking possible. As much as possible. I don't believe in giving money to anti, if there's one lesson I took away from Gamergate, it's that when a company starts showing anti-consumer tendencies, you cut them the fuck off and you show them who really holds their purse strings. You know, if nobody used YouTube, if tomorrow nobody went on YouTube, right? Nobody. Or, like, it was severely depleted. Like, if 65% of YouTube's user base just stopped tomorrow, they would fucking notice. They would seriously fucking notice. But unfortunately, with YouTube and stuff like that, and Twitter, it's an important networking tool, and it's some of these people's only outlet. Because, I mean, what are you going to do? Go to Vimeo? Really? Dailymotion? Come on, man. No one's going to go use those sites. So people have to kind of phase this in gradually. And Minds.com is a really good way to basically do what YouTube and Facebook do without all the leftist authoritarianism. So I highly, highly recommend go get a Minds.com account. Follow me. Same shit. JimFear138. Same on Gab. If you're on Gab, you can find me at JimFear138. We'll fucking see how well this shit goes. If YouTube and Twitter really want to tank their user base that much. So the thing with Twitter, though, is that everybody is on it. Like, everybody's on it. Fucking D. Snyder is on YouTube, or Twitter. The guy from Twisted Sister. And don't even try and give D. Snyder shit. That dude's a fucking American hero. He stood up in front of Congress at the PMRC hearings in, I want to say, 87, and fought for free speech in music. He fought the fight for free expression before most of us were ever born. So, but, I mean, like, Nathan Fillion and Joss Whedon's back, unfortunately. Just everybody you can think of is on Twitter. Name a personality, and they're probably on Twitter. So they've got a lot of celebrity draw for Twitter, and a lot of people are probably going to keep using Twitter. However, Twitter stocks are fucking plummeting, and if you're willing to, like, kind of just step back a minute and look at this from a long game perspective, if Twitter stocks is going down that badly, it doesn't spell very good for the company. It's kind of like the Blaze now has filed for something. I can't remember the exact name of the thing that they filed for, but basically it's something that happens right before a company goes under. So Glenn Beck's little news network is about to go under, and I'm very sad for him. But if you look at the trends like that, Twitter is like 2 years away from total heat death. And that's just my extrapolation. That's just my projection into the future. I think Twitter's got a good two years left in it before people start mass emigrating to sites like Gab and Minds. Because these sites, the big thing that, Gab has a fucking quote from Salman Rushdie on it. And if you don't know who Salman Rushdie is, Salman Rushdie has a fatwa on his head and hasn't been able to travel without bodyguards for the past, like, 2 or 3 decades because he spoke out against the worst parts of Islam. Very good friend of Christopher Hitchens. There, sites like this are very, very committed to free expression, and I really like that about them. And I would much rather promote sites like Gab and Minds than I would continue to use YouTube and Twitter. And like I say, I've completely abandoned Facebook. I jumped ship like a drowning rat. Because I knew that they would come for me eventually. It doesn't matter how big my reach is or you know, how many views I get. Eventually, somebody would come for me through Facebook. And someone's probably going to come for me through Twitter. And I've just given up. I've just given up with that kind of shit. Like, my name's out there, man. You can search Nathan Dabney. Go to Audible and search Nathan Dabney. You'll find the Catherine Kimbridge books. Aaron put my book up under Jim Fear. So, I don't know why. Maybe he was, like, respecting the branding and shit like that. But for the audiobook thing, I'm going legit. I'm using my real name. My Gab account has my real name up on it. I have a pretty secure job. I'm not really worrying about them firing me because I said something on the internet that somebody didn't like. They all know me down there, and I don't really act untoward towards anybody. I really don't talk politics, and I keep all of this shit to the internet. It's all fucking off time when I'm doing all of this shit. I don't do any of this in front of the customers or none of that. So my day job, it may be shitty. It may not pay enough, but it's pretty secure. And the whole, like, the whole thing on the audiobook thing, if I go through right-wing people, I don't really have a problem, because they're pretty, people like Aaron Clary, people like Mike Cernovich, people like Kurt Schlichter. I'm thinking about messaging him, because he just recently released a book called People's Republic, and it's really good. I really, really like the first chapter. That's as far as I've got into it. Very, very good stuff. And I'm thinking about just emailing him and being like, look, dude, I bought your book. I really like it. I'm an audiobook producer. Let's make this fucking happen. And seeing what he says. Because, you know, that's how I did it with Aaron Clary. You know, if you don't put yourself out there, you'll never actually achieve your goals. So even if I do lose my job, I'll just go through ACX and I'll just put in audition after audition after audition after audition after audition until somebody fucking says yes. I can conceivably do like 15 auditions a day. And I'll just put in like, well, probably closer to 5 given editing time. If I didn't have anything else to do. If that was my only source of income and I had to fucking make it work, I could probably pump out like 10. And then just do that until someone's like, yeah, you're the one. And then stop putting out auditions, record that book, get it done in like a week, because I wouldn't have anything else to do. And then just start putting out auditions again until somebody contacts me, and then stop with the auditions and just really, really pimp this shit. And at the same time, work on Dimension Bucket Magazine and try to get that off, because we're really trying to turn that into a business. We really do want that to be our job. Because self-employment is the way to fucking go. Fuck working for other people. But yeah, go apply for a Gab account, guys. They don't vet you or anything like that. It doesn't matter to them. All you have to do is just hop on the waiting list. They'll send you an email. I got mine in like 2 weeks, but I really do think that the Instapundit debacle had something to do with that, because they verified a bunch of people. Well, it's not like verification, not like Twitter does verification. It's more like, you know, you're like, hey, I want to be on your website. And they're like, all right, we'll get back to you when we have an opening. And then they send you an email and it's like, hey, all right, start gabbing. So go apply for a Gab account. When you get it, follow me over there. Go follow me on Minds. I'm going to be uploading all of my old shit. I'm going to try and get that website worked out. It seems to be a lot better for creators. As soon as they get monetization over there, I'm going to apply for monetization on Gab. Or not Gab. Minds. And then, you know, as soon as I can feasibly stop using Twitter and YouTube mainly, I'm just going to completely move off these sites, because fuck this. The exodus has begun, and I'm not going to get into this one like I do with everything else. It seems to happen every fucking time I get into something, man. I'll get in on, like, the very tail end of the phenomenon, and it'll already be winding down by the time I get there. And I'll just be kind of shit out of luck, and everybody's gone already. I'm hopping on this shit, bandwagoning, first on the bandwagon. Hop on the boat as soon as I can. And I highly, highly recommend that you guys do the same. So, yeah. I guess I'll keep an eye on Kurt Schlichter's book. It's doing very, very well on Amazon. It's at like 500 last time I heard. And if he wants to do an audiobook of that, I'll email him and be like, look, I'm working on a couple of other projects, but I'd really like to do your audiobook. And just see how it fucking goes. But yeah, I guess that's the podcast. How long have I been fucking going on for? A buck 11, buck 12. All right. Yeah, that's good. That's the podcast, guys. Thank you guys very much for tuning in, taking time out of your finite lives, blah, 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 blah. I love you all very dearly. Hit me up on Gab and Minds and Twitter and Tumblr and not Facebook, because fuck Facebook. and, you know, subscribe to the YouTube channel and shit like that. And thank you all very much for listening. I'm going to try and have this up tomorrow, but I have to work tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe I can get this edited tonight. It's only like 8:40. I'll try and edit this one, but I don't know. I might be too busy in the future. So you guys might be getting some unedited podcasts and shit. We'll see. All right. Yeah. I love you guys very much. Thank you all for listening again, and hit me up on those websites I mentioned. And I will talk to you guys next week. Peace out, motherfuckers.